I hope you had a burning in your heart and a quickening of your soul as you heard those statistics regarding the growth of the church. And that on this day, the anniversary of the organization of the church, 166 years ago today, in that little Peter Whitmer farmhouse in Fayette, New York. Just imagine what has happened. And as we were singing this song, "I Stand All Amazed," we all would be standing all amazed. And those who were in that farmhouse would be standing all amazed. And the world in general stands all amazed as they reflect and think of what has happened to this little organization that began in those humble with that humble beginning, April the 6th, 1830. I'm glad we had the opening song of "The Morning Breaks and the Shadows Flee." Those words were written by Parley P. Pratt and were printed in the first issue of the Millennial Star, published in Liverpool, when that first group of missionaries arrived in England, having been sent there by the prophet Joseph Smith. And those words were carefully penned by Parley P. Pratt so that the people out in the world would have some understanding as to who they were and who they are and who we are. As he penned those words, "The morning breaks, the shadows flee. Lo, Zion's standard is unfurled." And you could see that standard up on the flagpole and blowing in the wind, flag of freedom and liberty, but in declaring the restoration of the gospel to all the world. And now to reflect upon what has happened throughout the world in those 166 years that the church has been organized. The statistics that Brother Watson just read to us, I want to remind him, but there's one more that he didn't read. Just within the last 30 minutes, we've heard that we have a new great-granddaughter. Born up here at the University Hospital. And so, Michael, you have to raise that number one more. LeGrand Richards, bless his heart, put together a book that has become such a missionary tool throughout the world. But included in that book, he wrote of an incident that happened to Dr. Andrew White, who had been the president of Cornell University in New York State, but who was called to be the United States ambassador to Germany back at the turn of this century. And while he was ambassador in Germany, he had an occasion to spend some time with Count Leo Tolstoy, who then was the ambassador from Russia to Germany. Leo Tolstoy, German statesman, historian, writer, diplomat, and social reformer. I want you to remember that. Social reformer. He had grown up in Tsarist Russia and had some idea and some understanding as to how a country and a people could be oppressed. And during that opportunity that Dr. White had with Leo Tolstoy, Leo Tolstoy asked Dr. White, "What do you know of that American religion?" And Dr. White said, "I don't know just what you mean. We have a number of religions in America." And Count Tolstoy said, "No, I mean the one that was founded in America by a young prophet." And he referred to Mormonism. And Dr. White said, "I know very little about them, but I know they have some rather strange ideas." Count Leo Tolstoy said, Dr. White, I'm sorry that you don't know more about that group of people. He said, I understand they teach of heavenly glories, and that they have teachings regarding social and economic guidelines for the people that are very impressive. And then he says, from what I have read and what I know about them, if they continue and endure without any changes, in that organization, unmodified, through the third and fourth generation, if this will become the greatest and the strongest and the most powerful influence in the world. I'm just reminding all of you here today that the little great-granddaughter born to us today is of the eighth generation of people who have believed and accepted what we declare to be right and to be true. A short time ago, I stood in a family circle when the husband of one of our granddaughters was blessing a new little boy whose name was Mark. And as he blessed little Mark and making those usual pronouncements that we use and the pleadings of a father and the blessing of a child that you want to have an understanding and a testimony of the gospel, as he was blessing him and praying that he would someday go on a mission, that someday he would find a sweet young companion, and that that day would come when they would be sealed in the temple. But as he was pronouncing this blessing upon little Mark, the thought was going through my mind, how and if and can I some way help little Mark understand some of the blessings that I've received and some of the spiritual blessings and feelings and the direction of the Spirit that has entered into my life, that I would hope that someday that could what might come about, but that his life would be such, or that mine would be preserved long enough that those experiences might come into his life. I would like him to some way feel of the blessing that I had 26 years ago today when I was called to be an assistant to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And on that same day, Elder Packer was called to the Quorum of the 12. I remember it well. And when I was called to the First Presidency's office with President Joseph Fielding Smith, who was his name would be presented the next day as the new president and prophet of the church for a sustaining, as we have done today with President Hinckley. President Lee was his first counselor and President Tanner the second counselor. And they spent a few moments with me and extending the call to me and announcing that the next morning my name would be read in the conference as names have been read today by these new brethren called in to be 70s, those that we have welcomed and with our uplifted arm. After that call was extended to me, and I walked down the granite steps of the administration building, I was in amazement and wondering, how could this happen? How could this come to me? And I walked around the block, thinking and wondering of the change now that would come into my life. And how would I ever measure up to the responsibility that would now rest upon me? How could I go out and represent this great and glorious and organization out in the world? How would I ever have that ability or that talent to go out and so testify? But I was so overcome and with that feeling. As I walked around the block, I didn't want to meet anyone that I knew. I didn't want to to make an expression to anyone. I just wanted to find my wife and tell her about it, Ruby. She was on the 9th floor of the Hotel Utah at the time, visiting with some family. And I remember knocking on the door and opening the door just a couple of inches, and so I could just motion to her to come out in the hall as I did this. She wondered what was happening, of course, and came out in the hall. I took her by the hand and walked along the hallway in the old Utah Hotel Utah building. And all I could do was squeeze her hand because I was so overcome with what had happened that I had trouble even getting words out. And finally, she stopped me and said, "Well, say something," as we walked along the hall. And then I looked at her and put my arms on her shoulder, and I told her what had happened to us. And she started to cry, and the two of us stood there with our arms around one another and people walking by wondering who those silly boobs were there in the hallway, not paying any attention to the traffic, because something momentous had happened to us. Our lives had been changed. Then on the next day, a day like this, when my name was read and asked to come up and take one of these red chairs, I went up and sat in the chair in all amazement. And then the tabernacle choir started singing, "O Divine Redeemer." I thought my heart would burst, that it would break in that pleading of those words, remember not those things that you've done that were not giving your all to the building of the kingdom. Remember not your little sins or your transgressions, but to accept me as I am, in the author of those words, O Divine Redeemer. I would hope someday that our great-grandson, little Mark, as I was listening to that blessing, that someday that those spiritual experiences would happen to him, as would happen to others of our own posterity, that they would feel the spiritual power and influence of this work. I would hope that he and others would have the opportunity, as I had, of being in the temple when President Kimball received the revelation regarding the priesthood. I was the junior member of the Quorum of the Twelve. I was there. I was there with the outpouring of the Spirit in that room to such a degree that none of us could speak afterwards. We just went quietly to our rooms to change our clothes to go back to the office. But no one could say anything because of the powerful outpouring of the heavenly spiritual, that experience that's difficult to ever explain. But just a few hours and some hours after the announcement had been written and the announcement was made to the press and the word had gone out, I was assigned to a state conference in Detroit. And when this plane landed in Chicago, I noticed that a new edition of the Chicago Tribune was on the newsstand. And the headline in the paper said, "Mormons give blacks priesthood." And the subheading said, "President Kimball claims to have received a revelation." I bought a copy of the paper. I looked at that subheading, "Claims." It stood out to me just like it was in red neon. And as I walked along the hallway going to a plane connection, And I thought, here I am in the big city of Chicago and walking along in this busy airport. And I was a witness to a revelation. I was there. I witnessed it. I felt of that heavenly influence. I was part of it. Little did the editor of the newspaper realize what he was, when he said, claims to have received a revelation. Little did he know. Or the printer, or the man who put the ink on the press, or who delivered the newspapers. Little did they know what I knew, because I was a witness to it. God lives. He is our Father. We are His children. He loves us. Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten of the Father in the flesh. He is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is our advocate with the Father. He is the one who died and suffered great agony, great humiliation, great pain for us. The restoration of the gospel is true. Someday we'll know of the greatness of the prophet Joseph Smith. All this work is true. I leave you my love, my witness, and pray that you will live and raise your own families in such a way that you'll all be part of this great army needed to carry the message of hope and salvation to all the world. As I leave you my love and witness, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.